Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, the third issue of the WrestleTalk magazine is now available. Head over to wrestletalk.bigcartel.com for more information. We've got a great issue this month featuring our reviews of the Royal Rumble, Wrestle Kingdom 10 and Raw 25, including the WrestleTalk crew counting down their top 25 moments of Raw history. So head over to wrestletalk.bigcartel.com for more information.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to this special bonus episode of the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaft Nation, and yes, this is a bonus episode, so we're not going to be doing correspondence, we're not going to be doing iTunes reviews, we're just here to introduce our chat about the Ultimate Deletion, which happened last night on Monday Night Raw. Obviously, we're not going to say what we think in this intro, because you're about to hear what we thought of it, so let's hear it.
Well, we do not know what the other one thought of the Ultimate Deletion. We have on purposefully kept apart and not said our reactions until we could do this. We've just rewatched the match. We didn't look at each other's facial expressions or anything. Hit me. What did you think?
That's fine. Like, it was...
It was fine.
Like, okay, so... It was, I really appreciate the kind of like the creativity behind it. I appreciate the work that Matt Hardy, I was probably more surprised that it main evented Raw than I am actually anything that happened in it.
I don't think main eventing Raw is a prestigious thing anymore. It's the tag team Battle Royal did that.
Well, I'm still more surprised than anything else that it was the main event of Raw. But like, I thought that the beginning was fine, I thought the end was fine, and I thought it quite sagged in the middle. I thought all the stuff around the graveyard, when it went a bit Scooby-Doo, was a bit pants, and I thought all the stuff in the Dome of Deletion was a bit pointless. Although
they had the best moment.
Is that, well, that lawnmower, that's the one from the House of Horrors, right?
I can't remember. I just know Matt Hardy used to ride it around because he ruined Jeff Hardy's intricate lawn pattern that he did on the first Final Deletion.
Okay, well, I thought it was the one from the House of Horrors, and I was like, oh, that's a nice callback to the House of Horrors.
Was the one in the House of Horrors, was that not behind in the background for the graveyard section?
Oh, I don't know. Might have been. Either way, I thought the end was fine, I thought the start was fine, and I thought it sagged a little bit in the middle. But I know...
You're such a Michael Cole.
No.
I apologise for what you're about to see, viewers.
Do you know what? It's funny what you say about Michael Cole. So, like... Michael Cole really doesn't like this whole gimmick. Like, he
do you think it's Cole, or do you think this is Vince?
This is 100% Michael Cole.
Really?
This is 100%
because
Michael
I'm
Cole.
I'm not sure he has an actual opinion or personality. I just, whenever I look at Michael Cole, I just assume it's everything he says is what Vince McMahon has told him. He's like a blank robot, an automaton.
Yeah, and he probably is, but I also think this is what Michael Cole thinks of it. Like, he just strikes me as the sort of person who would look at this and be like, this is dumb. And like, every time it cuts back to him, or any time they do something with Woken Matt Hardy, he's basically like, well, this is dumb. Like, this is just really stupid. And like, he was like just burying it throughout the whole show. But I did think to myself, I was like, I kind of like just that this is an honest Michael Cole, and it's not the pre-automated Michael Cole that's just like, hey guys, isn't this the greatest thing? Like, but not really believing the word he's saying. Like, when he goes, it's boss time, I'd much rather this Michael Cole than it's boss time Michael Cole. With that said, don't bury your characters and the thing that you're main eventing your show with. Don't bury it, because it just makes it seem... It makes the company look stupid. It makes this look stupid. It makes the whole Sting look stupid. And that's stupid. So, but I know you really liked it. You were, well, you were chuckling throughout during that time.
And yeah, and I was trying to withhold my expressions because I didn't want you to know what I actually thought. But there were some bits that I couldn't. I couldn't. There was some bits that I didn't pick up on or love as much the first time round. There's a bit when so it's in the first in ring part when they're still in the woods or whatever it is around the Hardy compound, and Bray's got the upper hand. He's just about to hit Matt with a chair, but Vanguard One initiates the Boomstick Protocol, which is loads of fireworks going off in the ring. It distracts Bray.
It's more pyro than WWE has had in about a year.
And I guess the Boomstick is a nice Evil Dead 3
yes.
reference. And but so that all happens. That's fine. But then Bray Wyatt's just like, what the hell is happening? And the way he screams, it just seems so exasperated. And at the end of his tether... That I really, there's a similar moment in the first one where I think Matt Hardy starts firing fireworks at Jeff, and Jeff screams at him, "What's wrong with you?" Yeah. And it feels like a moment of clarity just like burst. What is going on here? I must because some people have pointed it out, sort of calling me a fake and a fibber in a previous episode of Wrestle Ramble, saying, "Oh, if you go back and watch Ollie's initial review of the first ever Final Deletion, he buried it. He said TNA have killed wrestling, or Matt Hardy's killed wrestling. And I've made no secret of that. I said that's what I thought when I first watched it, but I have grown really to love it. And by the time the second one came around, which was called Delete or Decay.
That's because they were with the Decay, yeah.
I really, really liked it. And I like it even more every time there's a new installment. And I think this is the best one yet.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I really... Because I don't know why I'm going to bring up the Marx Brothers, but the Marx Brothers always spoke about, before they went to... I can't remember the name of the studio.
This is not the MGM. Marx Brothers, mate.
Well, it's... The Marx Brothers' initial films were just all over the place, like Monkey Business and stuff. And it was just gag.
I know Duck Soup's the best one.
Yeah. And Duck Soup, those, they're just unrelated gags with a very loose framework. But when they went to, I think it was MGM, they had to be more, it was more based upon a narrative, and it did help everything flow better, and they worked better as movies, like Dead Erases. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with a bit more, I feel like WWE's influence here, maybe there's been a few ideas banded back and forth. I feel like this was more of a complete character piece. And it's not just that the jokes hang better off of the characters. I think for Bray Wyatt, this was an absolutely fascinating performance and just arc of character development. Because it's almost like Matt is the Mad Hatter. And Bray is Alice and has just fallen down this rabbit hole. And I loved it. The moments when Bray and the viewer realizes that the dilapidated city is actually Hardy's old compound, and he gets the flashbacks. At first, they're positive flashbacks.
The Wyatt's old compound.
Did I say Matt's again?
You said, yeah.
I'm mixing them both up. But yeah, it was those initial promos when he was in the little hat and everything before.
Well, that was far and away my favourite bit of this whole endeavour was, and you're absolutely right, it was Bray Wyatt. I thought Bray Wyatt was absolutely awesome in this match. Matt gets on my tits a little bit with the voice, but I thought Bray was so good in this. It's the most interesting Bray has been in years. Like, years and years and years. It's the most interesting he's been. What I would say about this, sorry to cut you off, what I would say about this, as much as I thought it was fine, I didn't think it was funny, but I didn't think it was awful, I didn't think it was genius, but I didn't think it was terrible, I just thought it was fine. I could certainly watch another one if WWE did this again in 6 months' time. I would certainly watch another one of them. You know, but what I would say about this is that because this was driven by the wrestlers themselves, because this is done by Matt, it's done in working with Bray, and I'm going to presume that Borash was involved in this.
Obviously, that's what reportedly, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't listened to any sort of reports on this or anything, but I would just assumed that Borash would be involved because he was so heavily involved in all the stuff they did in TNA and Impact, that it feels like the most genuine. And like, it really got me more invested in them as characters because it's character driven. Mm. It was wrestler driven. It's not a bunch of writers sitting in a room writing awful promos for people and being like, here, now say this nonsense. And because it was a wrestler driven thing, that's what I really liked about it. That's why I was saying I appreciate the work that went into it, because this is more character development for Bray Wyatt in this 10-minute segment.
Oh, it was 15, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like it went
20.
It felt like it went 45, but like, because that
flew by for me.
Only because that middle segment like really sagged. But because like it was, you know, in that 20-minute segment, they did so much more for Bray Wyatt than a group of 28 writers in WWE have managed to do in the last 3 years.
It was, and some of the, speaking of the performances, the shot reverse shot stuff, you kind of forget you're watching a wrestling match. It feels like it's more of a movie, and you're like, man, they're really good actors for spoken word dialogue. Bray, of course, is a master deliverer of promos, and it obviously translates to this kind of performance as well. And Matt is just doing his over-the-top character, which is only he can do.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the exploration of Matt, particularly, and you said your favourite moment was the flashbacks to those original Wyatt promos.
Yeah, it was just like the does this look familiar to you, and like Bray's reaction to it, and you kind of get the shot of the burning compound.
Because at first it was positive and he was remembering when he debuted, and I was like, the happy days when everything was in front of him. But the last thing was the his compound burning down, which Randy Orton did, and that is the exact moment that Bray started to go off kilter, and he had that awful, awful year last year. Because you said Bray hasn't been this interesting in years and years and years. That's unfair. Everyone always forgets that the Viper in the family, Wyatt family storyline, which was at the top, which made SmackDown the better of the two shows from SummerSlam 2016 through to Elimination Chamber, that was really good when they won the tag belts, when they were having
all the
dissension.
Like a couple of weeks later.
But it was part of a larger story, and the stuff when they did in the Royal Rumble, and everyone agreed at the time. This isn't like a big revelation. It's everyone looks back. Bray Wyatt's been awful for 2 years or like 3 years. He hasn't. He was very good in the initial brand split of SmackDown.
Yeah, that was like, it was a couple of months period where
it was
that
half a year.
It never felt like it was really half a year. Well, okay, I mean,
from SummerSlam to Elimination Chamber.
I very much stand corrected, but it didn't feel like half a year. But like that aside, what has Bray Wyatt done that's been interesting?
Exactly. That's from that moment of the Elimination Chamber, he wins a title, goes on that awful feud with Randy Orton, and it's just bad feud, Finn Balor after bad feud. He's actually only had Randy Orton.
And Finn.
Finn, and then Matt.
Yeah, I mean, just three bad feuds in a row.
Yeah, and each one lasting 4 months.
Yeah.
But at least this one is picking up. But yeah, so you had his flashbacks of not only the compound burning down, but like his character as an interesting force. I felt it was all very meta and intentionally so. But the bit that got me was the end, when you had that wonderful moment of peril. Were you not genuinely scared he was going to rip apart Vanguard 1?
No.
I was, that cute little critter. And
I thought it would have been better if he had. I thought I would have been more... Not because I hate Vanguard 1, but because that would have been a more impactful moment, rather than him just going like, I'll deal with you later, and letting him fly away. Because my brain then goes like, well, why didn't Vanguard 1 just attack him again?
Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah, that makes sense, but you could have that in the next match, if there is a next match.
Oh, you want this feud to continue?
Now I do. You know, like, they come together as a tag team.
Oh, is that where you think it's going?
Well, I just...
Well, should we come on to that later?
On to that later. Let me finish my point. So, Vanguard 1 distracts him. Bray turns around to Skarsgård, the dilapidated boat, which should have Matt Hardy inside. He flips open the boat, but Senor Benjamin is there with a sort of inflatable globe ball. And he throws it to Bray. Bray catches it. And it's just this absolutely fascinating image of this huge Bray. And he's always talked about having the whole world in his hands. And Senor Benjamin, awful line delivery. He just says, "You got the whole world in your hands." It just sounds awful. But Bray's looking at it, and he's got this great expression on his face of, oh. And he looks like ridiculous and pathetic and sad. And that's like the finish of the match. That Matt hitting the twist of fate, that's a formality.
Yeah.
But that moment of when Bray realizes that he's nothing, and this is what he said he is, that he hasn't got the world in his hands. He's just he's as empty as all his promos. And then Brother Nero appears in that court, and like Jeff Hardy's is not a good promo, but the delivery of that line is filled with such venom, and you know, opens up who's really hearing it. Is he there? Is that in just Matt's head or Bray's head? And then I just thought that whole bit was brilliant. That's unparalleled character stuff in wrestling. I mean, the only one that springs to mind in recent times is Kevin Owens screaming at Sami Zayn at Battlefield 2016, "Why are you making me do this to you?" Mm-hmm. In that tremendous match they had.
Yeah.
The Wrestle Ramble will be right back after these short messages. This podcast is brought to you in part by Patreon. For just $5 a month, you'll get access to the Wrestle Ramble Extra, a monthly podcast where Ollie and I review shows from wrestling's past. If you pledge now, you'll get our back catalogue of episodes, including Money in the Bank 2011, Armageddon 2000, Wrestle Kingdom 10, and No Way Out 2004, and many others, as well as this month's episode, which will be WrestleMania 25. And $10 plus backers will become part of the Ramble Club, our new show where we talk about wrestling from around the world, including reviews of the Golden Lovers versus Cody and Marty Scurll, Austin Aries versus Eli Drake, and many, many more. All that and so much extra. So head over to patreon.com/wrestletalk for more information.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, am I convincing you?
No, not at all. I mean, again, I didn't think it was bad. It's just that it's I wouldn't say anyone is wrong for liking it because you never should say that. But
it's Stephanie McMahon. Unless it's Stephanie McMahon,
which is objectively awful. I would never say anyone is wrong. Like, you're not wrong for really enjoying this. I would also never say that anyone is wrong for thinking this was dumb and obnoxious, as Michael Cole called it, and self-indulgence and all the other sort of words that people often use about the broken-hearted stuff. Like, I don't think either of those sides is wrong. I think it's very specific taste that is needed. It's a bit like Primus, in a way. One of my favourite bands of all time.
Okay, I did Marx Brothers, you get Primus.
They're one of my favourite bands of all time, and I could listen to Primus all the live long day. But I know friends of mine who are just like, this is absolute tripe, and it's absolute garbage. And I can look at it and be like, I get what you mean. Like, I kind of see what you mean, because his voice is a bit weird and the songs are very odd. Like, they did a whole album that's just mad covers of the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory soundtrack. And I love it. I absolutely love it. But, like, my wife is like, this is god-awful, turn it off. And I get that. But for me, I think it's brilliant. I think it's genius. Like, every single track that Les Claypool has ever done is a work of art. But I get why some people wouldn't like it. And I feel the same way about, you know, Ultimate Deletion, in a way. When we had Kenny here last week, Kenny McIntosh from Inside the Ropes, who's a huge fan of the Deletion stuff. And, like, he's been on Twitter this morning singing its praises and being like, he was one of the only people that believed in it and this, that, and the other. And you know, and he really, really enjoyed it. But we were having a chat about it last week, and I said, it's pro wrestling's version of The Room. And there are some people who watch The Room and be like, I don't get it. I don't get why people enjoy going to watch this at the cinema. Whereas I watch The Room and I'm like, I mean, it's hilariously bad. But what I think I like about The Room is that The Room doesn't know it's bad. The Room thinks it's great. It's the same with Troll 2. Troll 2 thinks it's a brilliant movie. The directors and the people behind it thought they were making a work of art. Just turned out to be really bad. But it's kind of hilariously so. But when people make Sharknado or Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus stuff, where you try to make things purposefully bad, all I can see is people just trying to be weird and trying to be wacky. Like the stuff with the graveyard, where they were doing the Scooby-Doo stuff where you're just sort of running around. I don't see funny, I don't see jokes, I just see, like, oh, you're trying to be wacky, and that doesn't work for me.
It's interesting you brought up The Room, because I was going to say that, and I guess you've already answered it, that I was going to say, well, if you don't like this, you're always saying how you like The Room.
Yeah.
But you are right. This is intentionally. But I don't think, like, that was my mistake at the start. So maybe you'll change your mind when you've seen this unfold in real time in WWE, if they stick with it, which I hope they do. It's, I've forgotten the point I was trying to make. So it's not like they're trying to make an intentionally bad thing and you're in on the joke. This is just what it is. This is just a crazy... Yep. It's a broken universe.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything is like that. The continuity is all out of whack. I mean, I wrote down, we criticise Kevin Dunn for those confusing camera shots.
Yeah.
Which is annoying, but here, you know, like...
Matt does it all the same.
Yeah, so there's that. But it is important for everyone to remember that if you are saying, oh, you don't like this, you must be an idiot, then you've really got to look at yourself, because you can't watch the... I loved it, as I've already said, but you can't look at that and go, that is something that's for everyone. Everyone is going to understand this.
Yeah.
Anyone who doesn't get it is an idiot. You've got to be like, no, this is very, very specific.
Yeah.
And there are going to be a lot of people who don't like it. But that's what makes
that's
it
what
work.
Makes it, that's what makes it interesting.
That's what makes it
really
interesting.
That's why we can sit there and have these conversations. And that's, again, something else I really appreciate about this sort of broken universe and this woken lark, is we can sit there and have these long discussions about a 20-minute match. Match, or maybe I'm saying match in inverted commas, but
what is it?
But what is it? Is it a match? Is it a short film? And that's kind of genius. That's kind of brilliant, and that I really like about it. It's, you know, and maybe in years to come I'll look back and then be like, yeah, do you know what? That was great. But I tell you what, what I really liked about this. Holy hell, was it refreshing!
Yes.
Like, in terms of, because, like, WWE is just, like, paint by numbers across the board. Everything is just one big colourful cartoon, but it's the same paint. It's the same panel over and over again, just with different characters. This just felt completely different, and that's great. Like, that's really interesting, and that kind of freshens WWE up. So if you do this every couple of months, it is just that little bit of injection. And what I'd like to think is that maybe this will create a trend where wrestlers can put their own stamp on things, put more of themselves into stuff, and like help guide their storylines. Because, you know, we've said before, the most interesting story in the world of professional wrestling right now is the breakup of the Bullet Club. And the reason that is interesting is because it's being written by them. Mm. It's all of them are working together to create this storyline across multiple promotions, across multiple angles, across multiple months, across multiple shows. And that's it's all done by them. And across YouTube as well, with being the Elite. And that's what makes that really interesting. And so I kind of hope the same thing can kind of, like, from this, can kind of bleed into elsewhere across the card. I think that would be a really good thing. But I suppose my question to you, and I think you've kind of already answered, is where do you think it's going to go next? Because at the end of the match, Bray was pushed into the Lake of Reincarnation?
Yes,
Lake of Reincarnation. But Senor Benjamin couldn't find his carcass.
So I've got two answers for you.
Oh, interesting.
Where do I think it's going to go next, realistically?
Mm-hmm.
So, this is what I think's going to happen. This is going to do well. I am going to put a punt and say it's going to do well in the ratings.
Ooh, that's a big punt, because it's hour three.
I know.
At the end of hour three as well.
But it is also the road to WrestleMania, and a poorly built-up tag team battle royal did very good ratings the previous week. I think the third hour might be on a bit of an upswing. There's the daylight savings time and as well, so more people are more likely to watch the last hour than normal. I think it's I'm hopeful. So I think I'm going to... So the ratings come out tomorrow, I believe. I'm going to say it's done well in the ratings. I'm also going to say it's going to have the double whammy of doing very well on social media, because the people who like it love it, and they're going to get everyone to retweet stuff. And Matt's already said, if you want another one, retweet this tweet. And, you know, those are the sort of metrics.
WWE love those metrics.
That WWE look at. So I think they're going to see those, and then they're going to do it to death.
Oh, really? You think they're just going to do it over and over and over again?
I think they're going to be like, yeah, you wanted that? Okay, fine. And we're going to get overly long segments every week. It's going to become a chore rather than a thing.
Oh, interesting. That's a fascinating way to look at it.
That's going to take a few months. That's like pessimistic Ollie. Hopeful Ollie is going to say it does well. And I'm already hoping they're going to follow this up anyway, regardless of the reception. Or I guess you could go several ways. So in the first Final Deletion match, which was between Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy, Matt beat Jeff to make Jeff come back as Brother Nero, and then they became a tag team. And I just feel like Bray Wyatt getting chucked into that lake, he can come back as a member of the Hardy family. Woken Wyatt, that's perfect, yeah. So he just has enough of a character refresh, although he can still do a lot of the stuff he was doing before, tag team with Matt. Heaven knows that Raw tag team division needs some help after Mania. I mean, God, if they were going up against Braun as the tag team champions, you've got an interesting dynamic with Bray in there as well, being former Wyatt family cohorts.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just run that through, and they break up, and they have another big feud at the end of it. And then Bray Wyatt can come and have, like, the best parts of his Woken persona and the best parts of his cult leader persona in one. And then maybe we can actually have a final stab at making Bray Wyatt a main eventer again in 2019. That is very optimistic. But that's how I would attempt to do it, if it all goes well. What about you?
It's interesting because, like, I actually think that after this, it almost feels like they're not going to be as a tag team. Because Bray's missing. So maybe this is a way to just write Bray off TV for a number of months. If this is Brother Nero's return, so then you can have the Hardys as a team, and then have Bray return later on, perhaps as a Woken Wyatt, but going against the Hardys, or even just returning as his cult leader status, a bit like the fantasy booking warfare I did with Braun Strowman winning the Universal Championship, is that Bray returns back to that compound, the compound that he saw in those visions that he loved so much.
I like that.
Maybe he's just going to travel back there and refind himself and become that cult leader again, rather than going down the sort of broken, woken route where he becomes a tag team partner of Matt. I mean, you're right that the tag team division does need a bit of a kick up the ass, particularly with Braun just, you know, burying the whole thing last week, if you want to look at it that way. And so, yeah, so I think either one of those I think would be interesting. I mean, but the big massive positive to come out of this is that we should be getting a huge character refresh of Bray.
Yes, yeah.
Just doing away with the spooky nonsense and going back to what we liked about Bray. That's what it really feels like it's doing.
It's a nice in continuity way to
reset the button. Yeah, absolutely.
Like if he just came out 1 week and this didn't happen and he was new, I don't think anyone would really buy into it. But now if Bray Wyatt came back next week on Raw as the way the Bray Wyatt of old, I mean, I could, with a new faction, I could be like, okay, we're back on now.
Yeah, maybe he comes back with a tag team
with
partner.
With a Sister Abigail.
With a Sister Abigail.
Maybe that's not the only thing that was reincarnated in the lake.
Oh, crikey, yeah, perhaps.
Because there was no mention of Abigail in this.
No, because Lord knows that's what we need again, is the Sister Abigail nonsense we nearly got at TLC last year.
But you could have it as an actual lady person, rather than as Bray.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking that you need, because if they're going to do like the Hardys versus Wyatt, you'd need a tag team partner to go with him. So perhaps you can bring back someone from the compound, maybe an NXT call up. A lot of people always say Lars Sullivan. I think people just tend to say Lars Sullivan because, well, he's big and he has a beard, so that makes sense to me. You could definitely put them in as a team. But yeah, like just an NXT call up, and then you run that as a new feud later on this year, maybe at SummerSlam or somewhere after that.
I think there are limitless possibilities, so I'm very excited. But I'm also sceptical, given the track record. Anything else to say?
No. Be friendly in the comments. I know that, because I know I'm going to draw a lot of heat for not thinking...
You should have opened with my positivity.
Yeah.
And then gone to your...
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Fine.
It's fine, yeah. Like, because we tend to get a lot of heat anyway when we're not overly positive about things. So... it's fine.
Oh, apart from Roman Reigns. When you're overly positive about Roman Reigns.
Yeah, then I'm an idiot for that as well.
You're the problem,
I am
Luke.
The problem. I am Michael
you're
Cole.
You're the common factor.
So I don't sit... Here's actually a really interesting way to put it. This: I don't sit in the Michael Cole camp, but I also don't sit in the Corey Graves camp. Maybe I'm Coachman. Maybe I'm Coachman who just sort of sits there silently, pulling a few faces, but being like...
And getting the occasional thing wrong. But John Cena likes him.
John Cena loves me.
He always says hi. Hey, Coachman, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine, John Cena.
Yeah.
Why does he shake anyone else's hands?
Because him and Coachman, they're tight. They're like brothers or whatever.
Yeah, they seem to be.
Well, that was fun. I like doing a bonus episode every now and again.
I think it merited it as well. When you suggested us doing it yesterday as a reaction thing, I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful it's going to be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very pleasantly surprised. It exceeded my expectations and then some.
And I thought we weren't going to be doing this today because you and I had a bit of a miscommunication via text message.
I sent vague texts sometimes. Texts that could be easily interpreted in both the opposite ways.
Yes.
Yes and no.
Because I suggested we do this on Monday, and then I wake up on Tuesday morning. I've just finished watching Raw, and I get a text message from Molly that just says, also, we'll save our deletion reactions for the Ramble.
Mm.
And I was like, cool. That means tomorrow's scheduled Wrestle Ramble.
Nope.
So I didn't bring my notes because I didn't think I needed them. Turns out when we got here, and you said to me, so we're going to go record then? I was like, record what?
Yeah.
The ultimate deletion reaction.
The fun thing you suggested, Luke. What I meant in the text message was, let's not tell each other our reactions when we get into the studio or via SMS.
Or WhatsApp.
Let's save it for when we do that bonus ramble you pitched yesterday. But I only used about 4 of those words. In the vaguest sense possible.
In the vaguest sense possible. But it's all right because you've got this bonus episode regardless. So I guess we'll see you tomorrow for the full Raw and SmackDown reviews on the Wrestle Ramble. Obviously, we're not going to be talking about Ultimate Deletion, but maybe we'll have some feedback from the WrestleTalk viewership.
I bet we will.
Which was bound to split opinions, I'm sure.
I don't know why you do it to yourself. I don't know why you just don't slightly tweak your own thoughts.
Yeah, just lie.
To gel in a bit more.
Just be Michael Cole and just be a pre-automated
your hero,
guy.
Michael Cole.
My hero, Michael Cole. And just be like, hey guys, I thought this was great. I think this is brilliant. And you should go subscribe to the network now, $9.99. It's like Netflix, but better.
It's Luke time. There are a few things you can, compliment or praise or kind of allead yourself to than Roman Reigns and Michael Cole.
I didn't say that Michael Cole was a good thing. I said in the whole thing he's burying everything and that's stupid.
Mm.
But at least I appreciate that he's being honest.
You said that last bit after 2 minutes of talking him up, and then it was just like a little bit at the end.
No, I don't know.
I think people are going to be so enraged by the time they get to that bit.
Yeah, but people will be so enraged because I just said it was fine. Yeah. Like, I'll already get the hate regardless.
I like how we feel we can be more honest and open with the podcast. The Swaft Podsters? Was that it?
Pod Swafters.
Because, you know, it's they can't leave comments, can they? It feels a bit more intimate because there's no video.
With Pod Swafters, we can call them PSTs.
PSTs. What would that...
Pod Swafters. Yes. So PSTs, just as a shorthand.
I don't think we're saving enough time. Pod Swafters. I like saying Pod Swafters.
Well, it's fine. I'm just saying, just as a way for you to remember it now.
PSTs.
There you go.
Okay.
But yeah, people are going to hate me regardless. So, but people have hated me already, so it doesn't really matter too much. But anyway, so we'll see you on tomorrow's show. Love you. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.